So here's the thing I'm going to start. I'm curious what you think. So some of you like some of you people are like rationalists, and some of you people are mystics. So like, do you think, let's say some of you who like are like strict Rambam people, and you like you're these rationalist thinkers. Do you think that the mystics are totally wrong, or do you think it's a different perspective?
Different perspective. That's sometimes so wrong.
Right? What do you think? Or like those of you who are like Kabbalists, do you think
I think it's a different perspective of the same reason.
So you say
same thing, but look from a different way.
Okay, but so you're saying that in Judaism you have different opinions, like. Does anyone think that you can? I don't know if you want to, you know, be very explicit. You don't want to make enemies, but do any of you think like whatever approach you have that the other side is wrong? Like we've been discussing certain issues.
So, I think sometimes they're wrong, but I don't think it really matters.
Okay.
As long as you come to the same conclusion and you practice the same Judaism, you know how you get there, right or wrong. Like if you're doing the right thing,
right?
Yeah. So in Judaism, we have the concept of motive matters.
Right.
Right. So long as that's the case, I mean, there's room for how you get there.
So you're saying means that there are multiple perspectives and there's no one truth.
There's multiple perspectives and understandings of what the truth might be.
There are multiple perspectives of what the truth, but there's only one truth. Like
different ways to arrive to a specific point, but the point is not the truth. The truth is the way in which you arrive to the point.
Okay, let me ask another question. In areas of halacha, do you believe there's only one truth?
Yes.
No. I believe there's a way we paskin, but I don't believe there's one truth.
Right. So. Right.
There's a fine line there.
Okay. Eric, what do you think? Putting you on the spot. You think it's like one truth in halacha? You think it's like Ashkenazim and Sephardim? Do you think like someone is getting it right and someone's getting it wrong?
No. Sorry.
What?
Hard to imagine that.
Why? You feel bad that you're telling someone that their life is wrong. Like you don't want to believe that. Okay.
We
want to believe that we're like one happy family and like everyone's doing something correct.
There are many roads leading to things.
I understand. All I'm saying in area of machshava, it might be easier to say that. So we're gonna start. Yeah.
It really with halacha, it depends. Like you with the oraisas, I think there's only one right way. But with the rabbanans, the rabbis were given the power to interpret. So you could have different ways that are practiced, but there are abundance between Ashkenazim and Sephardim.
Okay.
So
it may depend if the rabbis are interpreting text, or may depend if they feel we need to put a fence around something. But that probably, you know, I don't know how you determine whether you're right or wrong. Ben, do you want to say something?
Every Friday night, there's never an answer if it's right or wrong, so I'm assuming.
When you pose the question,
the answer is always maybe or sometimes. Or
no, so, okay, so what, but no, but so, no.
We rarely come to consensus, even on things that are straight.
But when you say you're not coming to a consensus, do we believe there's this objective truth that maybe we're not getting it, or?
I think we can't, because if we did, and any time there were these arguments, we'd always have to be the machmir, always.
Really? Why?
Maybe some people will feel that way.
Okay, good. So we're gonna learn. Okay, good. So I have a lot to say on this, which I think a little shape maybe our thinking. We're just gonna begin the conversation tonight. There's a lot of talk about this issue, and it's really how we view. Because if you another interesting ramification of this also, I think is like, does elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim simply mean that? Like, if you think about there's only one truth, and let's say you're studying a lot of Torah, and like you're saying a lot of position that's totally rejected, do you get like reward for studying Torah for that? If it's totally not true, like do you get reward for that?
Torah?
Yeah. Even though it's not true. I'm just saying, there's an advantage to saying that all the everything is true, but we hold like one thing and say, okay, it's all Torah. But I mean, it's an interesting question, like, This is totally not the truth that we're still studying it.
But you're seeking the truth.
So maybe the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is seeking the truth, but not actually
reach.
Right, right. That's interesting perspective. I'm just saying, like, an interesting question. How do
you? Well, you get a reward for the effort that you put in.
Okay, okay, okay. I hear what you're saying.
Well, I mean, the way we paskin is not necessarily the truth. You know that, right? I mean, it's the Chachamim Omrim. We paskin 99% of the time Chachamim Omrim. Why? Because they were the majority. Right. It wasn't necessarily they were right.
Okay.
Well, that's what he was asking.
Okay.
So,
are we wrong when we do that?
Right.
No, but we have a halachic process.
Right.
When we follow the process, whatever conclusion we
right.
do, if you follow it properly.
Right, so we don't care about the truth.
That is the truth.
Oh, that is the truth.
Yeah.
But how is that the truth?
You make the truth. Truth
is completely subjective.
Not completely subjective.
As long as we follow a procedure, then we create truths.
What was that?
We create truth. So human beings create truth. There's no real objective truth. Truth is basically there's no such thing as truth.
Process.
There's no right. You're saying there's a process and whatever. So God does not believe in any objective truth. There's just a process and whatever we come to. So that's
right.
So we have to try to understand the meaning. So let me just share with you. I would try to perhaps sharpen our thinking a little bit. I want to study two positions on this. We might do some more next week, but I want to study two positions on this. The first position says. In the Gemara in Erevin, okay, Shalosh Shanim Nechlaku Beishami Beisil. So Beishami Beisil are arguing for 3 years. Halala Omrim Halacha Kamoseinu. Halacha Omrim Halacha Kamoseinu. So some are saying the halacha is like us. Some are saying the halacha is like us. Yatsa Basklo VaAmra. A voice from heaven came down and said, Elav Elo Divelkim Chayim. So both of these are the words of the living God. Halacha Kamoseinu, but the halacha is like Beisil for whatever reason. So. The simple understanding, I think, of both these are the words of the living God, does that seem to indicate multiple truths or one truth?
Multiple.
Right? You say multiple, right. The simple understanding, I think, of this Gemara, where you see there are conflicting Gemaras, right? The simple understanding of the Gemara in Erevin, when you say, Elu va'elu divrei Elokim chayim, these and these are the words of God. So that seems to indicate that both reflect the some kind of truth. And the Chidushi HaRidvah, these are like the famous two positions, the Ridvah and the Ram. We'll see next week the more nuanced approaches. But the two, like, perhaps most famous opinions on the matter of this multiple truth versus one truth, the Ridvah cites the French rabbis. Yeah, always the French. Shalu Rabbeinu Tzarfat, the French rabbis asked, Hey, Chav Shashiyu Shneem Direl Kim Chayim, Vizeh Oser Vizeh Mater, how could it be? We're so used to Ashkenazim Sfardim, right? We're so used to, like, there are multiple opinions. Like, there was a time where there was, like, you know, one opinion. You know? Like we're so used to, right? I mean, like, in politics, it's only one opinion, of course. Right? Politics, of course, is only one opinion, you know? But in Torah, there could be multiple opinions. Okay. But right? So they ask, how can you have both of these are the words of the living God. I say it's forbidden, you say it's permitted. But both of these are true. How could yes and no both be true, right? Fetirtzu kiki sha'ala Moshe lamarom lekabel Torah. That when Moshe went up to the heaven to receive the Torah, heru lo al kol davar v'davar mem tes parim leisur or mem tes parim leheter. So they showed Moshe for every matter 49 ways, 49 arguments to make it usur, and 49 ways to make it permitted mutter. V'shal lakash baruch. Then. And so then Moshe is like, asked, okay. So they're now, we've now basically gone through each issue, you know, and we've got, and now there are 49 ways which I can argue that it's okay, 49 ways I can argue it's not okay. So, like, what should I do? Va'omer, and he said, Sheyeheza Moser Lechachme Yisrael, Shebechol Dorador V'yeh Hachra Kamoso. Okay, let the rabbis decide. With this, he indicates here that there's no one truth. He clearly holds there is this. There are multiple possibilities. There are multiple objective. It's not that there is completely subjective, and whatever the rabbis decide, that is the objective truth. There's no one objective truth, and there are multiple ways to look at something. Multiple ways, perhaps, to interpret text. There are multiple analyses of any given issue, and we go by the majority. There's no, right? Now, the top...
There are many roads that lead to the same place.
Well, I know what the same... No, but I know what that same... What's that? I don't even know what that same place is. I don't... Do good. Do truth. The same place is truth. I mean, that's what it is. It's like, there are many roads lead to what? In other words, God tells you to do a whole bunch of things, right? And there could be, in any given issue, so I don't know, you know, obviously the question is, in any given issue, are the details not 100% clear?
I mean, there's not one way to handle it. There might be
right. And they're all, but they're all represent truth. And similar to this, the Yerushalmi says, Amar Rav Yanai, Ilo nitna Torah chatucha lo haisa leregel amida. He says that if the Torah had been given clear-cut decisions, a little difficult, Yerushalmi, is in Sanhedrin, Perek Dad Lachabes, there'd be no leg to stand on. Not exactly clear what that means. So some of Farshim say the Torah needs to be discussed and engaged in. If it was, everything was clear, there wouldn't be this kind of engagement. But anyway, he continues, and he says, Amar lefanav, so Moshe says to God, Ribono shalom, hodeini heach hi halacha, tell me what the halacha is. So Amar lo, achri rabin lahatos, you go by the majority, rabu amazakin ubo, rabu hamachayvim, rabu amazakin, you go by if the people, if the majority says innocent, majority says guilty. And he says, Kadesha Teh Torah, the Dresh is Memtes Parim Tami, Memtes Parim Tahar. So he says that the Torah can be interpreted in 49 aspects of purity and 49 aspects of impurity. So Moshe's like learning, you can imagine, Moshe's like going up to Shemayim. He's going up to heaven. He's asking God to tell me, like, what's halacha? And God is, like, telling him, well, maybe this, maybe that, maybe this, maybe that. I think, I don't know if anyone here go to Gush? No? Because I didn't go to Gush either. But they tell the difference between Rav Lutzenstein and Rav Amital is that if you want an answer, you would go to Rav Amital. He'd give you the answer right away. And Rav Lutzenstein would, like, discuss with you for, like, an hour, and you wouldn't know what the answer is. Because he would give you all the different perspectives. And apparently, according to Ritva, that was Kadosh Baruch Hu when Moshe went up to Shemayim. And he just said, you know, there's this, different possibilities. And maybe, Benji, what you said, if you look here, this is Rabbi Wiederblank's work, he says that Rav Herschel Schachter maintains that numerous rules concerning the determination of halacha support the French rabbi's understanding. For example, one may follow a das yachid, a minority opinion, in times of exigency, shasat chak, or in matters concerning the laws of eruv or mourning. There's a rule that halacha kedivrei hamekal with eruv and with avelus. If one feels the minority position is wrong, then it does not make sense to follow such a position even under difficult circumstances. So it's similar to what you're saying, Benji. However, if the view is fundamentally correct, as the French rabbis maintain, then it seems reasonable that in some circumstances that view could be normative. So in other words, if you believe, as what you're saying, that there are multiple truths, okay, there are multiple truths, multiple legitimate perspectives, even to analyze a text. Right? It's an interesting question, right? When you're reading the Chumash trying to figure out what the halacha is, so on the one hand, you have perhaps your mind, you know, what logic dictates in general, versus say, perhaps what the simple meaning of the text is. Like sometimes there's a conflict, and sometimes, you know, the way different rabbis interpret halacha could be on, you know, how they view the text and how they view, you know, what their general perspective on different things, different orientations. And what he's saying is that if there was only one truth, if you really don't believe there was one truth, then it's a little more difficult to say, okay, you could be leading this because I think this one's wrong. But if you're just saying there are multiple truths, and we go by the majority, but like, okay, that's what we're deciding this time, but in difficult circumstances, you're still doing a truth. It's not the truth that we're, there's a truth that we're following, the truth that we're not following, right? Okay, that's like one perspective, that's like the Ritva's perspective, okay? I don't know, like, coming into this, like if you thought about like that, but that's like the Ritva, which is a little bit radical, where he's just saying there's no objective truth. Like up in Shemayim, if we'd ask God, he did not take a position on anything.
Is he saying there's no objective truth, or there is no?
I'm sorry, my mistake. Right. Correct. There's no single objective truth. Yeah. Right. 100%. Right. In other words, I remember, you know, like obviously there are certain positions that we reject. So it's like elu ve'elu. These and these are the words of God, but not these. You know, there's always someone that we reject. Okay, but right.
Well, that's the whole conversation. Are we taking it too far to say that mysticism and logic are okay in those two?
Yeah, no, right. So are they within that? Okay,
are they within
Right. Correct. You know, there are two different questions, right? In other words, do we believe in the concept of multiple truths? And that, if we do, does this fit into that? Right. Yeah, the theory, and then the application. See, that, now you have the Ran, which is a much more radical view, in my opinion. And this is like the famous, you know, the Tanur Shalachnai story, right? You familiar with that story? Right? There's a, they had this oven, and they didn't know whether it was Tamei or Tahor. It was made of different pieces. They didn't know if it was Tamei or Tahor. And all the rabbis paskin one way, and Rabbi Lazar paskin a different way. And he says, Tana ba'osa yom heishir b'lezer kol tshuva shavolov lo kibul himena. He gave all the best arguments. He said, I'm the smartest guy in the room, right? He gave all the good arguments.
Isn't a mission in Rosh Hashanah? Rabbi Gamliel,
Paskin,
Yom Kippur was one day.
Right, Yeshua. But that's not clear what in that. It's not.
He went on Yom Kippur, like you said.
Deferred to Rabbi Gamliel.
Yeah.
Right. So this is even more what you see. Right, so we're going to see the idea of the one truth versus multiple truths. I think the Gemara here takes a position here. So Rabbi Eliezer, like, they didn't accept his arguments. And then Chazar Amar, he first said, if the halakha is like me, you know, the water channel is going to go the opposite direction, the carob trees could be uprooted, right? And it did like him. They said, we don't paskin from carob trees or from channels of water. And Chazar Amar Lahebi, Malacha Gavosi, Midashvam Yochichu. Also, the base mesh should start to lean and start to fall. And then he said, okay, a voice from heaven should come down and pass like me. Yatzis Baskov Amra, Malachem Eitzah Rabbi Lezer, Shalach Kabosim Kol Bakom. So the voice from heaven said, Rabbi Lezer is correct. So Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Amar Glav, Amar Lo Bashamayim Hi. Right? As David mentioned, it's not in heaven. By Lo Bashamayim Hi, what does it mean it's not in heaven? Right? So Amar Yerbiya, Kvar did the Torah, Behar Sidai, and then he says, Eid Anu Mashkim Babaskal. We don't listen to a voice from heaven. Right? By the way, just want to point out, the Gemara asked that in Erevin, we do say we've listened to the voice, right? Because the voice of heaven said, it's like a base Hillel. Here we're not possibly the voice of Hillel, but that, the voice of heaven. The Gemara, we're fortunate to talk about that question. But the bottom line is, Rav Yeshua says, God, the Torah is not in heaven. The Torah was taken from Sinai. Once that happens, Ein Mashkicha Vavasko, we don't listen to a voice of heaven. Shekevar, Kasavta, Bahar Sinai, Betorah, Achri, Rav, Lahatos. It says in Har Sinai, follow the majority. Okay, so, right, we don't follow you, we follow the majority. But look how the Gemara concludes, which I think is very significant. Ashkeche Rabbi Nosson Eliyahu, Rabbi Nosson finds Eliyahu, Amalei, Ma'abekarsh Baruch Ba'ishaita. What's God doing this time? Because remember, the voice from heaven presumably reflects what? The objective truth, right? The voice from heaven presumably reflects objective truth, and we're not following objective truth, it seems. And what's God doing? Amalei, what's God doing? Kach hayecha v'amar nitzchuni b'ni nitzchuni. Or nitzchuni b'nai, nitzchuni b'nai. So God is smiling up in heaven. He says, my children defeated me. So does that sounds like what? Does it sound like multiple truths or one truth? What do you think? What does the story sound like? In other words, okay, I'm trying to understand what happened. You had a majority. The voice. Now, if there were multiple truths, let's say there are multiple truths. So should there have been multiple voices from heaven? Or maybe Rabbi Lezer was just powerful. He had the power to generate a baskol, maybe. The fact that only baskol came to support Rabbi Eliezer, what do you think that suggests? One truth, right?
Or that his cover was
great. His cover was great, maybe. But then what is God saying? My children defeated me. Why do you think he says my children defeated me?
Maybe he presented the people with a lot of different opinions that were not the proper way to arrive to the specific halakha.
I don't know, but what do you think it means? If the people down on earth defeated me.
It means that
they beat God.
I tried to do it, right.
Now, I tried to have my objective truth, they rejected my objective truth.
You think so? I think more likely like I attempted to deceive them to...
They follow Rabbi Lezer, and they didn't follow.
But they did the right thing.
Okay. Look at the way the Rad understands this. The Rad in one of his drushes, Drush Zion, says Shabiachar Shachras Torah Nibsu Alahem Bechayehem. Right. So since the consent of the Torah was given to them in their lives, right. So Lo Bashabayim, and their logic was that it should be tabe. So the halacha should be tabe. What does that mean? Said the halacha is tamei, even though what?
It's wrong.
It's objectively wrong. It's the opposite of the truth. It's not me. The Ron says this. Ron says it's the opposite of the truth. Shekein chayav haseichal hayadoshi. Okay? So this is because this is what human logic necessitates that we follow the majority. That's it. Vashar afal pi sh'obri bebes aid, I don't care. That even though other people say this is the truth, aid ruim la'asot ma'asekein b'darchi Torah. It's not, we don't follow the Torah like this. K'mo sh'lo tiaro ba'al machlokoso sh'rabbi Lezer afal pi sh'nidda aleim v'askol mishmaim sh'lacha kedvarav. That's it. Said that they didn't. Rabbi Lazar said it was tahar. Everyone, they said it was tamei. The voice from heaven said, like Rabbi Lazar, that reflects objective truth. We don't follow it. We follow a process. It's actually a little different than what you're trying to say, Yossi. I think it's more radical than what you're saying. It's not like. Okay, you're not so radical, Yossi. I never thought you were radical. It's not that. See, it's not that, well, we're going to decide what the truth is, whatever the rabbi says is the truth. We don't care about the truth. Right?
We don't have to follow
it. Correct. Sir. That's okay. We don't have to, in practice, right, we don't care about it insofar as we don't have to follow the objective truth. This is a very radical idea.
You don't have to follow the objective truth so long as you...
Follow the process.
Based on the process that's right. Laid out.
Okay, right. I'm saying,
which, so, again, doesn't bring us back to the original questions, but it's business. We're just
yeah, okay, then we're not going to have to answer that. So the Rod says a little more here. He says, Baha Idyad Tzarech Iyud, Zay Yid Tzarech Iyud, Ech Dobar Shte Kito Machloka, Mokos Nebu Priya Gvura, Hine Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yeshua Nachlaku, Vachar Hisig Eves Hashem Lo Yisigu. He says, I understand. How could it be? You had two groups of people, they had an argument. They said, you had Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yeshua argued, and one reached the truth, one didn't reach the truth. How could it be that God, it doesn't make sense that a voice would come down from heaven, that wouldn't be the truth. It has to be the basko is something truthful. So, what's the idea? It's already known. The whole Torah, written and oral Torah, was given to Moshe. So Hashem taught Moshe what's called Dikdukti Torah and Dikdukti Sofrim. So Hashem taught Moshe some of these things, what's called Dikdukti Torah, Dikdukti Sofrim, and stuff that the rabbi is going to ensue in the future. But here's the key: Dikdukti Sofrim, Heim Hamachlokos. So Hashem taught Moshe some of the debates and some of the different arguments that the rabbis would have, scholars would have. And he said to Masar Bo Klal Asher Bo Yivodah Ebes. And Hashem gave Moshe the key through which they would understand the truth. And what's that? Achrei Rav Lahatos. Follow the majority. And Lo Tatsu Midar Shegidulcha. Don't deviate from the words that they tell you. And when there were a lot of arguments between the sages, you follow the majority. Rabbi meets a rabbi, or yachid is a yachid. And if it's many against many, or one against one, you go by, you know, the rabbis would decide. Because they basically are in charge of consensus. So, right. So I think these are like two different these are two radically different views, the Ran and the Ritva. The Ritva basically says there are multiple truths. Okay? And we follow the majority. According to both opinions, we follow the majority. But according to the Ritva, we're probably following the truth, probably. Right? Yeah, there are multiple truths, and we're following one of the truths. According to the Ran, we're not necessarily following the truth. So what do you think, by the way? I have three questions now that we learned this. What do you think the answer to this first question is? Must we seek the truth in a gadata according to either opinion? You think there'd be a difference? Like in philosophy, like in halacha, we need to try to find out what the answer is. In hashkafa, do you think it's important to try to seek out the truth or not? What do you think according to the Ritva or the Ran? Do you think it's important to try to think who's right? The mystics, the Kabbalists, the rationalists? Do you think it's important?
I don't think so.
Right? Why?
So even Rabbi Slifkin, who's a known big-time rationalist, put a dinosaur on the cover of his book to keep away the mysticists, because he said, or to keep away the Haredis who believe that, whatever it is, But he's, because he said that as long as you come to the same conclusion, you follow halacha to however we interpret halacha, that's what matters, and it's not necessarily.
Okay. Do you think there might be a difference if you follow the Ritva versus the Rad and whether you should sing the truth?
No, because at the end of the day, they both agree on how you arrive at halacha.
Okay. See, I might have thought that there might be a difference. I would think that the Ritva, the Ritva is more open to the fact that, you know, mysticism or whatever, any different issue in Machshava, that there are multiple approaches in Machshava. Like, if there's one truth, if there's only one objective truth, so I want to reach, it's not like we follow the procedure, I want to get to that truth. You know, okay, you might not get to it, but I would say there's more of a push. If I'm a Ritva guy, right, if I'm following the Ritva, okay, right, you have your approach, I have my approach, and they're all legitimate, we all can live together. If I'm a Ron person, then I think I want it in Machshava, I think there's only one truth.
But who said that the Ron holds this in Machshava?
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I'm saying, right. So that's the question. There's maybe the difference between Machshava and Halacha, maybe.
I mean, the
right.
example he gives is...
In Halacha, right. And he says in general, right, so that's the question. In other words, are there multiple... Why would you make a distinction, though, in terms of how to understand a Kadosh Baruch Hu, how to understand...
Because I don't... There's a halachic process that's put into place.
Right.
If you follow that, whatever conclusion you come to, as long as you follow...
No, but the Ron holds that there's one truth in Halacha, in Shemayim. There's a Baskol, there's one truth. So why should there... Should there be... I mean, one truth in everything, no?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. You think there's a difference? Okay, we have to look at the bar. Obviously, I think in halacha, this goes to the next point. In halacha, the Ron seems to make more. I think is more compelling, and the Ritva is more compelling in Machshava. Right.
I don't see why you have to say.
Yeah, I understand. Okay. So right, if you think these two extreme positions, I'm curious what you think. By the way, what values does each position highlight? Like, if you think about the Ritva, what values do you think he's getting? Like, if you're a Ritva person, what values does that highlight? There are multiple truths. Like, what does it teach you about, you know, I don't know, how to relate to other people, like to God? Right. I think it's more tolerant, open, accepting view. It's nice. It's a feel-good kind of situation. Right. Yeah, I think that's true. In other words, but more than that, in other words, it's more than, I would say, tolerance. It's more like what's like pluralism. That's a dirty word, pluralism. But like, it's a really idea that, you know what? They may have something that I don't have. Because when we look at other people,
you should be more respectful.
But I would say even more than respectful. I would say even more than that. And like, I may have what to learn from them. Now, if you believe that there are multiple truths, and like, you know, this doesn't resonate. This may not resonate with me right now, but I may have what to learn, you know, from them. In other words, it's one thing to say, okay, as long as you follow your process. And I follow my process. I respect you as long as you follow your process. I think the multiple truths approach actually says a little more. It actually says that, you know what? I actually have what to learn. I have rationalist camp, the modern camp, the Hasidic camp, the neo-Hasidic, whatever, different approaches. So I would say like a Ritva type of approach is saying, you know what I want to do? I want to learn from everyone. Because I really believe that there's something to be learned, even if I don't resonate, but I'm trying to learn from every different piece. If I'm a Ron person, so it's not as much. It's like, no, I think you're wrong. Okay, you're allowed to. I totally respect you. You're allowed to do what you're doing.
I think the Ron might not highlight that, but the Ron still is going to say you should debate
100%,
and you should try to learn from everyone.
But no,
it's the highlighting point.
But at the end of the day, he says there's only one truth, and at the end of the day, we're seeking. At the end of the day, I believe that, you know, I'm right, and I think you're wrong, as opposed to saying. I think that obviously you could fit the Rod in as well, but I'm saying
that's fine.
That's fair. And well, I'm curious, what do you think? What value do you think the Rod highlights? What value do you think like the Rod highlights?
The ultimate truth, I think.
Well, let me rephrase it as a question: Do you have an obligation to seek out consensus?
Right. So you're saying that the Ron is saying.
So I'm saying the Ron, you would have to seek out consensus right. because there's only one correct way. Right. You don't have an obligation to seek out right. consensus according to the Rig Fa.
Right.
But if if a consensus forms, it forms.
Right. Right. I mean, the Ron, if you think about it, the Ron is like, you know, I feel 100% I'm right, but you know what? For the Klal, I'm going to defer. Like, that's a very powerful message, right? In other words, the Ritva is like, I want to learn from everyone. The Ron is like, I know I'm right. I know I'm the smartest guy in the room, but you know what? There's something to be part of a community.
But according to
each one has, I think they're like the Musar values like to each one.
But
according
to the Ron, how could you have different people following differently? Like, we have different rabbis who paskin differently, and we don't go by the majority necessarily. And you have, like you said, Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Right.
So again, in ideal world, if you had a Sanhedrin, then we would do all these things.
Right.
But due to historical circumstance, you know, we don't do that.
But shouldn't you go by the majority according to the Ron?
Like, so under some circumstances. So there are some who claim that maybe you should. That's not how. It's only interpreted in terms of Chazal, Sanhedrin, Mishnah, Gemara. It has not been accepted in terms of other you know, question. What's a gadol? These are like questions, right? But I'm saying, I think like that's, I think about this machlokas, and I think like, you know, you want to be like a Ritva guy or a Ron guy, right? Ritva guy, you just want to learn from everyone.
But it just seems like we don't follow how the Ron.
Well, again, Ron doesn't mean every circumstance. It means when there's an actual conflict. So
but like, right, we have conflicts in halacha.
No, at the end of the day,
it's not often cut and dry halacha. It's very rare where it's cut and dry halacha. It's usually minhag. It's usually something else where there's different.
Not always.
At the end of the day, the rules only apply. I'm saying to the Mishnah Gemara, but I think.
Right, but I'm saying it seems like nowadays we don't follow
I understand we can't. Like. We can't, that detail, but I'm saying the values underlying that I think are very important for how we live our lives. I think. Okay. Any thoughts?
Just a little thought on the Ritva stuff. It seems to me that he's also saying yes. He's saying I can learn from everybody, but he also values the other person. He values the other person.
Yeah, the Ritva. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. You learn from him, you value the person more so than I think than the Ron. I think so. Both I think are very important.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake to look at the Ron and say he looks. The most important thing is that there is to follow the one truth. It's the opposite in a way. Right. I'm saying it doesn't matter if it's
right. No, I'm saying seek the truth. Right. On the one hand, seek the truth that at the end of the day, we want to reach the truth. So on the other hand, you're trying to seek the truth, but on the other hand, you try your hardest. But a more important value is community, is consensus. Like you're right, but I'm saying there's less pressure for the Ritva to seek the truth. On the one hand, the Rod, because you'll be this one truth, you want to get it right. You're much more willing to work hard to get it right, but there's an even more important value than that, which is consensus, right?